Broadcasting from USA Swimming's headquarters at the Carolyn Dirks Building in Colorado Springs, Colorado, it's time for Kick Set. Join three-time Olympian Elizabeth Beisel and U.S. National Team Director of Performance Matt Barbini as they host members from the USA swimming community, ranging from age group to Olympic levels of the sport.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Kick Set podcast. My name is Matt Barbini. I am the National Team Director of Performance at USA Swimming. And joining me, as always, three-time Olympian Elizabeth Beisel. Beisel, how are you?
Barbini,
where are you?
I'm actually home right now, although I'm fresh off a Puerto Rico trip. I was on my bachelorette, and we got kind of skunked in terms of surf. Like, we got one good day, but I got the news that I got inducted into the Florida Hall of Fame while I was there. Well, I already knew because they told me at men's NCAAs, but it was like officially announced while I was there. Of course, like, I'm the type of person, I don't know if you're the same, Barbini, but it doesn't matter where I'm going. Like, even if I'm going on a ski trip, like, I'm bringing my cap and goggles, and it's always my Florida Gator cap. So I spend the entire week just swimming open water, which actually is a great segue into our guest, but we'll get to
that.
So yeah, it was great. Swim a ton of open water, which I love.
I don't generally get inducted into Hall of Fames. I do sometimes bring my cap and goggles, but it's usually not.
Celebrations
are usually somewhat muted compared to that.
Stop! Yeah. I was like, go haters. Barbini, it's fine. I want to know how was San Antonio? Was it like insanely hot? Like it always is
no.
There?
Well, no, I like the heat. I lived in Texas for a while. It does not bother me. It was not real hot. It was actually really windy, which is, I think it was fine for most people swimming out there, but poor backstrokers, man. Like, those flags are just blowing all over the place. And
you have to like add or subtract a stroke count.
Yep.
Over the
There's
lane.
Some very long turns and smashing into lane lines. And the first day we were there, it was like the Omega scoreboard was like swinging on its like barrier. And oh man, this is not good. So
this cannot end up in the pool.
Yeah. It's windy when the thing you remember about the last pro swim before Olympic trials is that it was really windy.
Yeah. That's like the swinging Omega scoreboard that weighs probably 2 tons.
Oh yeah. Swimming wise, it was great. It was good to see. This is the last time we'll see everybody before trials. So kind of, there's a little bit of that pre-trials excitement / tension. Always is as you start building into that. Let's go back to that Florida cap, though, because that's a nice segue to our guest.
Can I get a go Gators?
Yeah. All right, so today's guest is Bobby Fink, double gold medalist in Tokyo, 4-time world championship medalist, 7-time national teamer. Do you guys need to do like a Gator handshake that I need to like cover my eyes for that I can't see now that you before we start, or
join in
part of it? Yeah,
and it's always always right over left.
More the merrier.
Is it always right over left? I didn't know that. Really?
Don't do it the other way.
No.
Why is it always right over left?
Bobby, do you know?
It just feels right. I mean,
it's just the way that we do it.
Are like, what the hell?
I mean, I'm right-handed. It feels right that way. I don't, but
it's just the right way to do it.
Favor the right-handed world, I guess.
All right. That's something that seems normal when you go there and then you tell other people about it. It's like, I have no idea why that would be a rule.
Yeah. No, I know. I think I saw Ryan do it in a photo once and he was left over right. And I was like, we cannot have this, Ryan. Like, I'll call Google and have them remove this from your Google search.
You're gonna invert the image.
Yeah. Bobby.
Sorry, so I was just
gonna say. Yeah. So we're off to a good start here. It's all Gators all the time. Let's just talk about highlights of Gator sports history.
We're literally the best.
Like a different arm over. It's very noticeable in photos. That's at least like, I just went right over left. I don't know which one, but it feels right to just have it one way other than the other. Otherwise, like, photos are going to look so ugly, I guess, or just one. As blocked.
This is the hard hitting stuff that people turn into the show.
Right? They're like, really, guys? Can we get to the point?
I think this was the point.
Yeah. Right.
All right, let's start here, Bobby. You are heading into this trials in kind of a different situation than you were the last trials. Professional athlete now, no longer competing in CAA. You have been to an Olympics. You've kind of been through the trials grind. You had a lot of success at that Olympics. How is this lead up to trials different from how it was in 2021?
Well, 2021 was just a whole different kind of year in the first place, just because of COVID and pandemic and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's a whole bunch of rules that we were following and stuff. So for me, it's, I don't know how much of the previous trials experience is going to fully help me, other than like the ready room nerves and pressure that you feel just making a team. But like the lead up to trials is completely different for me this time. You know, as you said, no NCAAs for me, so I didn't have like a mid-season taper anywhere, anything like that. It's kind of just been a straight grind with the Gators this past 7-8 months. I don't know, it feels like forever. But yeah, it's all about really just looking forward to that taper starting in 3 weeks is my saving grace right now, especially in the pool. It's what I'm really looking forward to most.
Taper's on the horizon. You can see it. Light is at the end of the tunnel. Like, kind of going off of what Barbini talked about, I feel like you've done so much more media stuff than I've ever seen you do recently, which is awesome. And I love it. But my question is, like, how are you able to kind of keep on the blinders? Because I also, like, understand where you are right now. And I want to respect that, like, okay, we don't need to like talk about trials all the time and making the Olympics. That's the elephant in the room. We know it's there. It's coming up. But how are you able to keep the blinders on when you're doing all of these media obligations? And that's kind of like all they ask about. Like, does it get into your head at all?
I mean, a little bit, but it's also like, I feel like I have an understanding that like, I can't stop it from coming in a way. Like, no matter what, trials is going to be there. At the end of the day, the Olympics are going to be there at the end of the day. It's not something I know I can avoid. So kind of just like knowing that no matter what, it's there at the end of the day. It kind of just helps me just like settle down and like relax a little bit, just because, you know, there's nothing I can really do to control it. It's not like, oh, no, never mind, I'm not going to trials anymore or whatever. So, it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that, because like last week was NBC Summit media thing or whatever, and I was in New York for like the whole day, but I was like, today's show 7 a.m. all the way to like 6:30 p.m. just doing media stuff, talking about trials and the Olympics and stuff. So like during that time, I was like, all right, like I just had to be in that moment. I was like focusing on trials and potentially after, but yeah, like as soon as that was over, I was like, all right, we're just, you know, like trials are here. It's okay. I know it's there, but I'm just going back home and relax.
What is the experience like doing 13 hours of interviews like that, or 12 hours of interviews like that? Like, that is gotta be such a grind.
It's pretty much the same question over again, and you're just wording it a different way every time. I found that out pretty quickly, like three interviews in. It's some of the interviews get like pretty unique. Like NCAA was there, and they did an interview where they had a room set up as like your college dorm room. And then they had, it is pretty weird, but also like pretty cool at the same time. Cause like, I haven't seen someone come up with like that kind of like creativity when it came to sort of like an interview space. But yeah, they just had us like rewatch an old NCAA video of us and like narrate it and then take us through the race and then like potentially after the race and stuff like that, which was it was pretty cool. So like a lot of the interviews were like pretty neat, but a lot of them were also like, you know, it's like a typical interview is like, what are you looking forward to after Paris and after trials, like how's training and stuff. Like it was all like that typical stuff too, which is, it's great, but it's just my same answer just started getting like the exact same quote the entire time that they're just going to be playing on TV. So
Do you ever try to like slip a word in? Like, I'm going to try to say orangutan in this.
You know what? Now that, I'll take that to the next one. But yeah, no, I didn't think about that.
You have to. Like, I remember I was commentating a meet and I was commentating diving. It was men's ivies. And somebody was like, you have to slip in the word like banana. And you can do it. And nobody really notices. I was like, that's that diver entered the water like banana instead of a pencil. Like, so that's our Bobby. That's our challenge at trials. I'm going to be doing some of the post-race interviews. So if I get the opportunity to interview you,
just slip in it. Just
orangutan in it. Is the word. Okay. Don't let us down. And banana.
Okay. Yeah. So that's at meets. We, one of our announcers, there's, if you, I'm not going to tell you which one, if you text him a word to try to get in, he'll try to get it into the call live in the venue. Yeah.
You have to have fun with it. Like, it
can't for serious. Sure. Yeah.
And I feel like Bobby, if there's a guy to do it, it's you.
To do it in an interview.
100%.
I mean, I'll just like blatantly say it once too.
All right.
Only, yeah. Only an orangutan would do the gator chop left arm over right.
There it is. Bobby, you talked about one of the interviews that you did with the NCAA and how they had you rewatch one of your races or a few of your races from NCAAs. Do you ever rewatch your races to kind of find inspiration or learn something after the fact? Like when Barbini's not there, you know, you're home, it's after the Olympics or whatever. Is that something that you do to try to learn from yourself?
Yeah, it's mostly after the race happens, like within, I don't know, that next like 6 months or whatever after that race, I'll end up rewatching it a lot. They have me rewatch the 4 a.m. from 2021 trials or NCs. Yeah, I don't know if it's necessary to learn from something, but like part of me like likes going back and like feeling or remembering what I was feeling before that race and after that race and like during that race and kind of like, you know, because one of my things before a race is like I'll tell myself like I know it's gonna hurt or whatever, so like when it starts hurting I'm not like shocked, I'm like, oh no, I'm hurting, you know. So like I kind of like rewatching those videos and just remembering when it was hurting and how I was feeling during that race, and I'll do that before big meets too, just so I understand kind of what's most likely gonna happen when I race.
Even 3 years later, were you able to like identify the point where, like, oh man, this is where it really started to hurt on the second 50 of breaststroke or something?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that race didn't really hurt that much. Beisel's probably going to disagree with me here, but 4 a.m. is not the hardest race to me. I find it relatively easy.
Fighting words on this show.
Listen to that, Barbini. Easy.
Yeah, like
only Bobby Fink can say this.
Like I'll find a mile and 800,000 or whatever a lot harder. But like because I do 4 a.m. that's my fun event at meets. It's kind of the event I go into with like zero stress and just like having fun with it. Whatever happens. But like I was rewatching that race and I was like, oh yeah, I was feeling pretty good at like the breaststroke. That was like my fastest breaststroke split. The only part I remember that like kind of sucked in the race is the back to breast turn. I'm terrible at holding my breath. So just like staying underwater for like the first turn of back to breast is terrible. But yeah, that's the only part in a 4 a.m. that really bugs me. But yeah, in a 4 a.m. it's not that hard.
Otherwise, walk in the park.
Yeah, it's a fun race. It's my fun event, you know?
It is fun. It is nice to have an event like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you should take this, Basil. It's like, event, this is so easy.
To be honest, it's Bobby Fink. Like, of course he thinks the 4 a.m. is easy. Yeah. He's coming home in a mile in like 24 or 5.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah. True.
Nothing about a 4 a.m. is scary to him. I do. Well, I mean, speaking of that, like you're being honest and I love that. Like, yeah, the 4 a.m. isn't the hardest event for you, but that's because you work your butt off every single day at Florida. And you just mentioned earlier, like you've been in this 8 month training block. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I know how exhausting it is. Is there one set or maybe like a block of time that really sticks out to you that you were like, I literally don't know how I did that. Nesty, why did you make me do that?
I mean, as I get older, I definitely, because I, the one thing I like saying I'm old now, because I'm 24 and like everything around me is like breaking, like my back's breaking the past couple of weeks. My arm, my shoulders have been breaking the past couple of years. It's more so like as I get older and I'm just like realizing, you know, my freshman, sophomore, junior years, I'm just like, how did I like do all those sets and like all that yardage? And now I'm just like, I'm struggling to kind of keep it up close to the same amount of yardage. Cause like now we'll average between like 7 to 8, but back then it would not be rare to be anywhere above like 8 high to 9 high, just on like on a random Monday. And now I'll look back at that and I'm like, we were absolutely crazy. But yeah, nowadays I'm just like, I don't know how I did that. I'm just trying to survive right now, especially with Katie next to me running me over. But yeah, it's more so, I don't even know how it happened. I'm just saying I'm old now. That's how I get over it.
So you mentioned Katie. It's not that the Florida training group was light on talent or work ethic before she arrived. But I think adding somebody like that is definitely a new dynamic for a group. Obviously she was not there in the lead up to Tokyo, but she is that. Do you feel like that's changed the dynamic of the group at all, or the your experience in practice having an extra superstar in the pool with you?
I mean, the first thing I really learned about Katie is that she's kind of like relentless in practice, like in a good way. Like she's always going after it. And I mean, the practice I have with her tonight, it's only 3,000, but there's no warm up and you just go right into it and she'll just start, it's long course, she'll just start holding 105s just because she can for like 1500 straight. And I'm like, all right, I can't do this,
but hey, thanks.
Like, wait a second, Katie, right now. But yeah, we're at the low end of our Friday afternoons. Friday afternoons just turned to distance. Yeah, having her in the group has just really made it's really showed us just like how much more effort you're willing to put in. Cause like she's just going day in, day out, just grinding. And you know, having someone like her, especially with like her accolades and her experience, you know, she's been on a national team for 12 years now, or almost 13. And not to take away from Caleb either. Caleb's been there for ages too, but I get to train with Katie every day. She's in our group all the time. And I get to race her every day. And I get to kind of see, like, you know, where this greatness like came from and how she's able to approach practices and her meets and kind of just her life in general, pretty much. Yeah, it's a pretty incredible thing to be able to witness.
You, Bobby, you just brought me back to like a visceral memory that I have with you. Because I don't know if you remember this, but you're talking about Ledecky just like hopping in, popping off 105s, like it's nothing. And yeah. I remember this one time I was down in Tampa back when you were in high school, mm-hmm. and I was training there. I think it was over Thanksgiving break. And Fred, your club coach, like yeah. put me in a lane next to you, had me put on fins. And I think we were doing something like 31s, like best average, something like that. And little Bobby, you were tiny then.
Yeah.
I think you were 14. I don't know how many years I have on you, probably at least 8. So I was probably like early to late 20s. And Bobby, I swear you were holding like 57s, 58s on repeats on 130 long course. I had fins on and Fred was like, yeah, I got this kid. His name's Bobby. Like your teammates with his sister at Florida, keep up with him. And I was like, Fred, there's no world where I'm ever keeping up with Bobby Fink, even with Vince. So I can like only imagine what you feel like with Ledecky doing that. Like, and that was one practice for me. Like you do this with her every single day. but yeah. I know like how much she probably appreciates you guys pushing her, because I think she is an athlete that definitely needs to train with mm-hmm. guys. Like, is she yeah. like, how, what is she like around you guys? I feel, can you joke around with her?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So when she first came to us, like, I was terrified because I trained with her one other time, and I was in Hawaii in a lead up for Tokyo, and we were doing some set of like 300, 200, 100s, and then she went like 302 long course yeah. on a 300, and it was supposed to be like decent too, to like the hundreds were like a second or two faster than your mile pace, but then Katie just popped a 302 like it was nothing, and she was going second behind Michael Brinegar, and Jordan Lomoski was going second behind me. So Michael and I went like 306, and we're like, that's pretty good for us. You know, like that's a really good time for me. And then I just remember looking back at like 300, I like the 200 mark, and then her and Jordan are just next to each other, just like brawling it out. And they touch the wall, and I'm just looking at Michael over there. Dude, what is going on behind us? So then like Nessie called us after the Olympics and everything. Nessie called Kieran and I up to the office, and he was like, you know, Katie's looking for a new spot to train. And I was like, this is incredible, and this is also terrifying at the same time. I remember what that was like. I was like, but you know, she eventually came, and I want to say like September, end of September, around there or something. And it took a little bit to like open up, but yeah, she'll joke around with us a lot now. Yeah, she hops in a lot now. It's awesome to, you got to see her like fully like open up throughout. Is this 3 years now? Yeah, this is 3 years yeah. now with her with us. And she opened up pretty quickly, but I still remember like the first joke she like, I can't say it, but like the first joke she like, because it's like a full like inside joke. You guys would just think we're dumb. But the first joke she cracks, like everyone just like looked over and started like laughing their eyes out, just because it just came so unexpected. But yeah, no, it was awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
That story you told about Tokyo, poor Jordan has had to deal with that at two Olympic training camps. This is one of my favorite things from the Rio camp. They had never trained before together, and it was some set they were doing 50s, and it was supposed to be like, I think pink to red, and yeah. Jordan was going to a flip, Katie was going to a touch, and yeah. he could not shake her, and it turned into
impossible.
Like it's just, he tried it, like he would not, and he was going from a push and she was going from a dive, so everything had evened out a little bit, yeah. and like every single interval you could see him be like, okay, this is the one I'm putting her away, nope, couldn't yeah. do it, and yeah. like
just, she's yeah. relentless, like it's insane. I cannot ever drop her, especially on you know, this practice week I coming up. I'm nervous for it, but yeah, no,
we'll be praying for you.
She's always a beast on Friday afternoons too, so we're praying.
So you mentioned Nesty in a couple of contexts there, so for those that know, he's the head coach for our men's team this summer. What do you think makes him such a good coach, and what do you think will make him a great Olympic head coach?
I mean, one of the biggest things I appreciate about Messi is that, I mean, he's been there, he's done that. Back in 1988, he won. He's been through the whole NCAA system. He trained with Greg Troy, and I think was Randy Reese the head coach at the time at UF? Somewhere in there. But, you know, he's been through the whole system, and he's developed so many different talented swimmers or had a hand with it. I mean, we have Beisel here with us right now. And he's coached my oldest sister. So, like, Nessie, in a way, is, like, another dad to me. He's known me for over 10 years now. He's been to my home in Clearwater multiple times, just recruiting my sisters and I. But kind of just like seeing how he carries himself. He's a very, very humble person. He doesn't bring up his time in the Olympics much at all unless it's necessary. And he's just someone who puts in a lot of the work and a lot of effort into making sure his swimmers are ready to go. He's always he kind of carries it around with his knee stories a bit. He's also a very relentless person, but he's someone who won't like back down from a challenge. He recently got surgery on his knee, or not recently, it was earlier this summer, but he would like refuse to wear a cane or use a cane at all to walk in. He was like, nope, I'm walking with this thing. Like he's someone who's not going to back down from a challenge at all. For me to have someone like that in a leadership role, especially with the men's head coach, is someone I can really look up to. You know, it's just someone who's not afraid of being challenged, not afraid of challenging things, and also someone who's been there and has a lot of experience to share with his swimmers.
Yeah, I feel like every single athlete that's come through the Florida program echoes every sentiment you just said. Like, yeah. Nessie is just the GOAT. And you're right. Like, I've never heard him talk about his experience at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like, Nessie, you're like a gold medalist. Like, tell me about it. He's like, I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
And you're like, all yeah. right, sorry.
We'll always get like alumni to come in. Like, I think like Dana Vollmer came in one time, and then she's like, she's always bragging about Nessie and like all the sets he did. And we're just like looking at her like, you did like 100 hundreds on like 110, like fly like every
That's
other.
That's like 100
like
flyer.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is nuts.
Insane.
Yeah, he's a very, very, very humble person. One of his like favorite quotes is just like having a humble piece of or
have a piece a of humble, humble
piece
pie.
Of pie. Yeah, a yeah. piece of humble pie. Like after every meet, he'll say it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's he's one of the most humble people I know.
Yeah. You talked about your sisters a little bit. And mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to be teammates with Summer at Florida. Autumn swam at FSU.
Well, other way.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Autumn. So Autumn was at Florida, Summer at FSU. You at Florida.
You were lucky enough to not remember which one you swam.
Yeah, I'm like, jeez.
They're both seasons. I'm the odd one out. I'm Robert or Bobby. If I was a girl, I'd have been like Spring or something, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Spring would be a weird name for you, I think, man. I don't know if that would work.
Yeah. Spring thing. But Autumn was obviously like in D group at Florida. Mm-hmm. I would love to know like what it's like to be from the Fink swimming family, because you guys are legendary, especially down in Florida. But also like how much did Autumn play in your role swimming at Florida?
Mm-hmm. So funny enough, when Autumn committed to Florida, I didn't want to go to Florida just because, you know, I was like, you know, like my sister went there. I don't want to like follow her legacy or whatever. I want to like kind of like try and be my own. But then, you know, I saw how close she was with the coaches and the team there. And, you know, I actually got to start talking to Nesty and then seeing how he was like, and he started becoming our family. And then that's when I was like, okay, Florida's like a real like top contender here. But yeah, when Autumn first committed, I was like, I don't want to go. Like, I don't want to follow Autumn. And then like Summer committed to FSU and I'm like, I don't want to go to FSU either. I don't want to follow it. But yeah, once I like actually started talking to Nesty, I was like, oh shoot, you know, like this is awesome. Like I want to, you know, Florida quickly became like one of my top choices to go to. But yeah, so at first it was like I got swayed away, but then it instantly kind of got right back into it. But yeah.
So speaking of Florida, there's a rumor going around that you guys play a little bit of table tennis down there. And we really need to know who's the better table tennis player, you or Kieran.
Okay. So back before COVID, after COVID, everything, like we weren't really allowed to like mingle around the team room or anything like that. And that's where our table tennis is set up. But before COVID, we would be playing for like hours a day before practice, sometimes after practice, like over to like longer than practice would be. So at the time, as much as I don't want to admit it, Kieran had a higher win-loss ratio against me. And I think the score was like high 90s and I was like high 70. So he had like 20 games on me, which is pretty significant. But before we stopped the streak, I was on like a 7-game winning streak. And I'm not going to be the one to say it, but I think I'd keep it going. So right now, you know, like if he wants to be challenged, I don't plan on losing my streak. But yeah, so right now I'm going to say me, cause I'm a competitive person. But back then, you know, I'll say Kieran got the upper hand. I always blamed on his like 8-foot wingspan, but, you know, he can just cover the whole table. I'm over here like 5-foot wingspan. So, but yeah, that's besides the point. But yeah, right now I'm taking it. It's always me.
You got to show up to the team room early tonight and be like, Kieran, meet me at 1:30. We're playing.
He won't be there. Yeah. I'll challenge Katie. I'll get Katie. Sometimes Nessie's even joined us in there too. Nessie's got spin moves. Yeah. It's
Whoa.
Yeah.
I believe it.
he's just like, yo, give me the paddle.
By the way, let's circle back to Nessie's knee really quick. How is it? I feel he's like he's been good. Rehabbing that knee since I was in school.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
He's still like deadlifting, squatting and everything too. He just does not care. He's just going hard on it.
Real.
But yeah, no.
Nessie's doctors, we're sorry, we're not condoning this. It's just what's happening.
It's just who he is. We can't help it.
No, it's awesome to see someone be realized, but I'm like, Nessie, you gotta give your knee a break, you know?
You need like a little rest sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, take a week or, you know, a couple months, you know, it's not gonna hurt.
Yeah. Easier said than done though, because I feel like we are all the same.
Yeah.
As swimmers.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't miss a practice. Are you kidding me? My season will be over. And you're like, yeah, no, it won't. Like, but
yeah, when I went to the, because I would have to miss, I had to miss a recovery practice, not a real practice, like a nice, easy, mundane recovery practice last week when I went to New York. But like every practice before that and every practice after that, he made me do an extra 1,000. I just went fast on it because I was like, I don't know, I feel obligated to. But I ended up having like more yardage than everybody else there at the end of the week by like, I felt like 5,000 or so. I'm like, you know, I'm just holding this against you guys. Like, if I'm dead, I did more, even though I missed. But, you know, it's just one of those things. You miss a practice and you're like, I'm not coming back from this. Like, I should actually retire.
It's over. I got to retire. I'm sorry, Tier.
You missed that 3K. You missed that 3K float. Oh, it's over. Yep. Hang it up. Time to go pro in table tennis. Time to take on the table tennis circuit.
Bobby, I want to ask, because this is so cool. Trials are in an NFL stadium. Like, what was your reaction? Did you kind of know that it was going to leave Omaha? Like, did you have a sense? Like, how excited were you about this?
I was more so like shocked and confused. I was like, how is this going to work?
Confused. You know, like, I love it.
I was like, wait a second.
Tell me how.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
like, I need to see drawings.
That's a
Show
big
me.
Stadium. I was like, is the pool like side? I didn't even like realize. I was like, there's enough room to put the pool sideways on the field. I'm like, it made me like realize like football fields are massive. But yeah, I'm just excited to see how it's all like put together and like the giant tarp in the middle and everything and like the warm down pool section. I'm really excited to see how it's all put together. That's one of the things I'm really looking forward to most. Like, other than the swimming part, is just, you know, like USA Swimming has always been able to put on like the best show when it came to swimming, especially, you know, like the light show and everything like that. Like, I'm really looking forward to that. I got to experience that like firsthand in 2016 trials when I first saw that. And I was like, you know, this is sweet. And like the Olympics, they had like a light show and everything. Worlds had a light show and stuff, but like USA Swimming like topples that easily. So that's a football stadium with all those kind of controls. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be sweet.
So that's such a good point, because the atmosphere is like, it's so different than anything else. There's really no, even the Olympics is relatively quiet and mellow compared to the rock concert that Trials turns into. So for somebody, there's going to be a bunch of people that this will be their first Trials. What kind of advice would you give to somebody that's generally swam in regular pools and is now walking into this?
You know, it's really something you really just gotta have fun. It's not a lot of people end up adding at this meet. I think like, I don't know where this statistic is, but I feel like it's like 70% of people end up adding at this meet, and
that's pretty much it. Yeah. That's pretty close to it. Yeah.
Like, so if you end up adding, just like, it's very normal. But it's also, you really just gotta have fun. It's an experience. You're getting a light show like 10 times better than the Olympics and anything. Like, it's definitely like, for me, it's one of the most pressure packed like scenarios to be put in, especially with the ready room. And then like, cause there's like two ready rooms kind of, I don't know about this one, but like Omaha, there's like two ready rooms a little bit. So it's an atmosphere in itself. It's a whole different kind of ball game that you're going to be playing when you're there. And you really just got to like sit back and relax and have fun and compete and watch some fast swimming.
You talk about the ready rooms, and I think that's something that we don't talk about like that often. It's kind of like a sacred place, but like, what is Bobby Fink like in the ready room? Are you like, what are you telling yourself? Are you listening to music? Are you chatting with other swimmers? Like, what's going on those 20 minutes before the race for you?
I'm a pretty quiet person in a ready room. Kieran likes making fun of me just because like I'm just sitting there like straight face and I'm looking, I'm just like like that the whole time for like 20 minutes before I race.
That was so good.
Yeah. I'm just like sitting there waiting for it to happen. But the one thing I'm like always repeating to myself is to stay calm. Especially like in my races, they're so long, you know, there's a lot that can really happen. The last thing you want to do is kind of like jump the gun too early in a distance race, just because, you know, if you die, it's going to be 10 times harder to come back. So that's really the only thing I'm thinking about is just telling myself to stay calm. And, you know, at the end of the day, the results are what the results are. You just got to do like the best you can to put your hand on the wall and hopefully first. You just got to do the best you can and make sure you stay calm. That's always what I'm telling myself.
That face was great, man. I hope we can get just, that.
He's like so that, good at method acting. He's like,
yeah, I know.
I'm like,
man,
yeah, I'm like, this
is my face. Like, wow, yeah, that nailed it.
That's it.
Basil, should we do some social kick?
Let's do some social kick.
All right. So, Bobby, these are questions that came from people through our social feeds that are directed specifically at you. These are kind of answers as long or as short as you want. And they're kind of a mix of swimming and not swimming. So the first one is Ariston F. Do you have a favorite sport outside of swimming?
I'll probably have to go or to play. Probably table tennis.
As mentioned, yeah.
We knew it.
Yeah.
I don't really watch too many other sports. I'll watch like certain parts of like sports. Like I'll like to enjoy watching like, you know, who's doing well in the Super Bowl. I like watching the Triple Crown races. I like keeping up a little bit with F1. I don't really like sit down and fully watch them. I like keeping track of them though. But to play table tennis, that's me.
What about watching table tennis?
No, I don't think I've ever watched table tennis.
Hey, man,
table tennis, it's an Olympic
Paris
sport, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, to check it out.
Hey, crazy listen, stuff in there. If we're all in Paris, we're going.
That is an amazing event, man. I've never seen it live, but like the the velocity that that ball gets to is just, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's
nice. All right. Brent A, what would be your best 50 free time right now?
My best, like,
If you had to do one, I think is what he's asking. Like, if you, what could you go in a 50 free?
You know, so after watching Gretchen Walsh break 20 for the first time, we were in practice that night, and then we were all like, dude, Bobby, you're going to get smoked by her. I had to stand there and try to defend my honor. But, you know, short course, I'm shave taper. I'm getting under 20 no matter what. I have to. Long course, though, I don't know. I hope to be – I want to be 23 high. That might be too confident for me to say. I don't know. 23 high, maybe. I can do a 23 high. Yeah.
So short course, 1/100th faster than Gretchen.
Yeah, that's all I know. I challenged her, too, in San Antonio. I was like, yo, Gretchen – We gotta do a race here. She said it had to be short course. I'm like, all right.
Man, those walls are gonna keep that off that start, man. She's gonna be.
I mean, my a bit of lead. 7.6 reaction time. I don't know if it's gonna hold.
How are your walls, Bobby?
I got some good underwaters. I just don't get. I don't get to showcase them. Okay, I never get to, showcase them.
Don't sleep on Bobby Fink's underwater.
Yeah, don't sleep on my underwaters. You know?
Everything goes well. This is happening in Raleigh or Croatia.
You can ask Caleb too. He was shocked at how good my underwaters were. It's one of my proud jewels I get to do, but I just never get to show them off. So
Bobby's like the one guy in practice that can push Caleb in underwaters. Like, no one would suspect it.
He's a hustler. So you guys want to do a 25 underwater? See who wins.
Caleb's like, come over here. I need somebody to race. Bobby.
Someone challenges me, I'm there. I'm right
there. Yeah. All right. Man. This is from Solomon D. What is your swimming pet peeve?
Slow intervals. I hate slow intervals so much. Yeah. I'll like if we're doing like hundreds on like 2 minutes or like 1:30 even, I'm like getting so far into my head. I'm like, dude, like, come on now. I feel like I'm like wasting my time on the wall. But yeah, Nessie knows it too. He knows I hate it. So he'll purposely do it sometimes, I feel like. But yeah, no, I hate slow intervals. I don't like taking much rest.
What's like an ideal 100 interval for you?
I mean, 110 base is pretty fine. Long course.
Yeah.
We'll do a lot of, if it's a long, like 400s or something, like 110 base is pretty nice, pretty perfect. If I'm doing like repeat hundreds that are supposed to be like fast, 120 is probably where I'll be like most comfortable at. But I wouldn't mind, like we've done hundreds on 105 before. And we do them 110 a lot of the time. But 130, I'm like,
like, do you just tighten up? Like, you're sitting on the wall for too long, kind of?
Yeah, like, my lactate starts, like, building. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, oh, no, I'm getting, like, pretty stiff. Yeah, like, I have
let me go!
Moving. Yeah.
I'm like, so 10 seconds or less, basically, is what you're looking for? Like, less than 10 seconds around there? Yeah. This might be the one thing you said that 99% of the swimming world probably just swim.
I didn't even hesitate. That's why he thinks the 400 IM is easy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Everyone else in Florida is like, oh my God, we're never going to get any rest.
we'll sometimes like have, oh man. So like during taper, Nessie gives me a little bit of control over my own intervals, and which is something I love to do. But like, we'll just do like, it's very quick. We'll do like 20-50s drill or whatever, and I'm doing them on 35 or 40. I'm like in and out of the pool. I'm just like, you know,
cooking.
I'm not like sprinting it either. I'm just like, you know, 52. Oh, 5 seconds. That's good enough. I mean, go again and kind of keep repeating that. But
one more question. If you could add any event to your schedule, what would it be and why?
Any event to my schedule? You know, I'd love to do a two back or two fly. I So this year, I'm not doing 4 a.m. at trials. I'm doing 4:30 instead because of like the day in between. I want a day rest before my 8:30. 4 a.m. is right before it. So I'm like, I got to cut that out. But two back is in the middle of the 8:30 and mile. And I'm always like really tempted to, you know, like just put my name in there, you know. I feel like I got a pretty decent back shoot. I don't know enough to make the team, but at least I feel like I could A final at least. So I just want to have fun with that event. I'm not doing it just because, you know, I like my rest of the 8 and a mile. But it'd be two back or two fly.
You really want to show off those underwaters.
Yeah, exactly. I just want the opportunity, you know.
My time to shine. Bobby, what's your best two back time? Long course.
I was 59 during COVID. What? So yeah, like a month out of our COVID break, I was 159. And hey, I'm a terrible in season swimmer too. So I'm taking that and running.
Oh, we're shaving at least 3 to 4 seconds off that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, right.
Like on a 155, easy.
Like naturally, that's how it has to work. I mean,
it's just swimming math.
According to science, you know.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of backstrokers out there like, oh, don't enter.
Yeah.
They're like, please, no. Oh my god, it makes sense. Yeah. He is good at it. No.
Oh no.
The underwaters.
No.
Just one opportunity, please.
I know.
Yeah. No. Well, Bobby, thank you very much, man. This has been super fun, and good luck with the rest of the training. Hope taper comes soon for you.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And we'll see you in Indianapolis in a few weeks.
Yeah, sweet. Thank you for having me. It was great being here.
See you, Bobby.
See ya.
Basil, that was great. You gators and your chops, man.
I know, we have so much fun. And that's like, God, it's been so cool to see Bobby just flourish as an athlete. Kind of like I was talking about earlier, like I've seen him swim fast since he was just a kid, like 14 years old. And there was always something special about him. And I think he's obviously a talented athlete, but Barbini, you know this as well. Like he just grinds, like he's not afraid of hard work. And when you swim events like he does and you swim in a program like he's at, like, that just has to be at the core of who you are as an athlete. And it's so cool when you see those blue collar athletes succeed, because I mean, he's 2 for 2 Olympic gold. Like that's.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment that basically nobody does. But he's already like, even before that, he was like, he made our world championship team in 2017 at 17 years old. Like men do, or boys do not make that team. Like sometimes high school girls do, but high school guys don't. And that is that. Yeah. So he started kind of cracking that ceiling way young.
And has been there since.
Yep.
And in events that he swims, like not easy. So, no. I mean, men's distance swimming now is stacked, not just nationally, but globally. And it's really impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Really impressive. And I mean, we saw it last year. It's like he was in that race in Fukuoka with Hafnaoui. And I mean, they both went faster than they had ever been just because they were next to each other grinding away. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And exactly probably what he does with Katie every day. It's like, get back here.
He's like, oh my gosh, Katie, thank you. I hated it at the moment, but thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
This American record was because of you.
Yeah, right. All right. So
we got trials.
We only have one thing left to plug, Basil.
I know.
It's the big one.
Trials in an NFL stadium. I'm like, I'm so excited. I mean, all of my trials experiences were in Omaha. So I am so excited to experience trials in a different light and dynamic. And the fact that it's not just like, oh, we're just going to plop a pool in Los Angeles and call it a day. Like, no. We're swimming in an NFL stadium. Never been done before. This is something I would not miss. So buy your tickets. Like, what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Those tickets. And if you're looking to do that, you can go to usaswimming.org/trials tickets. That is your spot. Get them for as many of these finals nights as you can. It's going to be an awesome show. Come check out prelims too. You'll see the future of the team. But it's going to be an awesome, awesome experience. Yeah. And Basil, we will see you there.
Barbini, see you in Indy.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
thank you for listening to Kick Set with USA Swimming. Head to usaswimming.org for more episodes and make sure you subscribe to Kick Set wherever you get your podcasts.